Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we take a look at the first reading from the book of Exodus, again, this time chapter 32, verses 15 to 24, and then verses 30 to 34. As we read through the book of Exodus, please note how God deals with his people and how his people react and respond. Learn the lessons. God did so much for them, but they kept doubting. They kept turning back. They kept bickering. They kept arguing with Moses because things weren't working out the way they wanted them to. Do you know, if they had followed, if they had simply followed Moses and done what God asked them to do, they would have been into the promised land a long, long time before the 40 years of going around and around and around in the desert. It's a marvelous example, brothers and sisters, of what we do, our pride. I know better. God doesn't know how to handle this. I know better. I've decided this. I'm going to do this. It's fine to say that if you have consulted God. But if you haven't consulted God, for heaven's sakes, don't be so proud and so arrogant that you think you know what to do in any situation. With all the human understanding in the world, no matter how brilliant your brain may be, how high your IQ may be, you are still not the source of what you have. You have been given a lot, but you're not the source. Always refer to the source. Always refer to God. Always. And never exclude anything. As I've been saying this past week, don't exclude anything. Don't just say, well, these are material things or these are secular things. They don't come under God. What applies to the church comes under God, but these things don't come under God. Everything belongs to God. Everything. Turn to him in all your decisions, all your needs. When you're prioritizing, when you're trying to work through a relationship, when you're struggling financially, in all those things, turn to him first. Consult other people, yes. Get good human wisdom, yes. But seek God first. So here we have the people of God going through the desert, and they're no different than the rest of us. So don't blame them, don't laugh at them, don't look down on them. We're like them. We're all like them. Moses turned and came down the mountain with the two tablets of the commandments in his hands. Now God has given him his set of commandments, the Ten Commandments. Brothers and sisters, those commandments are not rules. Those commandments identify us with God himself. We take on God's priorities. And when we take on God's priorities, God's values, God's standards, you will be set free from so much. Accept his commandments. What he wants is that we resemble him. What father doesn't take pleasure when he sees his son imbibing his priorities and values in life and learning from his father's mistakes? A father finds great pride. Well, God the Father says, here is the way to live the best life you can. Here is the way to find me. And ultimately, brothers and sisters, because we take on God's priorities, we become more like him. The commandments, which we're trying to exclude from our courtrooms now, we're destabilizing everything, brothers and sisters, everything. When I was a child in school, in public school, and I've mentioned this to you sometimes before, we always prayed the Lord's Prayer every day. We talked about the Ten Commandments. If you were a Jewish boy or girl, you brought the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, you read from the Torah. Everyone was respected. You bring your Protestant Bible, your Catholic Bible, whatever. But we all knew that the Ten Commandments were the way of life for all of us. Now, exclude it. When we exclude it, we throw out our compass, brothers and sisters. We throw out our compass. And we're at the beck and call of every shift of wind and current and change. and we'll end up shipwrecked. Let's see what happens here. Moses turned and came down the mountain with the two tablets of the commandments in his hands, tablets that were written on both sides, front and back, tablets that were made by God, having inscriptions on them that were engraved by God himself. Now, when Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, "That sounds like a battle in the camp." But Moses answered, "It does not sound like cries of victory, nor does it sound like cries of defeat. The sounds I hear are cries of revelry." They're supposed to be praying. As he drew near the camp, he saw the calf that Aaron fashioned, because they were tired of waiting for Moses, so they made an idol. Does that sound familiar? It should. As he drew near the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. With that, Moses' wrath flared up so that he threw the tablets down and broke them on the base of the mountain. Taking the calf they had made, he fused it in the fire and then ground it down to powder, which he scattered on the water and made the children of Israel drink. Moses asked Aaron, "What did this people ever do to you that you should lead them into so grave a sin, idolatry?" Moses was too long coming back, too long to wait. Let's make an idol. And they do. "What did this people ever do to you that you should lead them into so grave a sin?" Oh, brothers and sisters, leadership has tremendous responsibility. The closer we are to God, the better we can do. Aaron replied, "Let not my Lord be angry. You know well enough how prone the people are to evil. They said to me, 'Make us a God to be our leader.' As for the man Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. He was gone for days. So I told them, 'Let anyone who has gold jewelry take it off.' And they gave it to me, and I threw it into the fire, and this calf came out." Notice. I just have to laugh because we so excuse ourselves. "Look, Aaron, I don't know. We just threw it into the fire and out came this calf." Come on. On the next day, Moses said to the people, "You have committed a grave sin. It's the sin of idolatry. And how many of us are guilty of idolatry? I will go up to the Lord then. Perhaps I may be able to make atonement for your sin." So Moses went back to the Lord and said, "Ah, this people has indeed committed a grave sin in making a god of gold for themselves. If you would only forgive their sin. If you will not, then strike me out of the book that you have written." Look at that. The leadership was willing to take all the responsibility. "Cut me out of the book of life." The Lord answered, "Him only who has sinned against me will I strike out of my book. Now go and lead the people to the place I have told you. My angel will go before you, and when it is time for me to punish, I will punish them for their sin." There's a lot of lessons to be learned there. Brothers and sisters, please take the time, read it over. Ask yourself, am I one of those people at the foot of the mountain that gave up on Moses? Where am I? Am I, like Aaron, trying to lead, but I'm very weak and I simply give in to the wishes of the people? I don't stand firm and strong in faith. Who am I and where am I? Then ask God to supply what you do not have. And be honest about what you do not have. Let your prayer rise up like sweet incense before the Lord. Truth, brothers and sisters, rises before the throne of God. The truth of who we are, the truth of the mistakes we've made. Admit them. And come before God for help, and he will help. The Gospel from Matthew 13, verses 31 to 35. Jesus proposed a parable to the crowds. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants." Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we're called to do something seemingly very small, but we do it for the Lord. We do what God asks for us. Many times we're planting seed for some great fruit to be born one day. He spoke to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. In other words, Jesus is saying, do what I ask you to do, no matter how small the seed may look. Do what I ask you to do when I ask you to put a little yeast into the dough. It disappears. The seed disappears. The yeast disappears. But look at the fruit. Look at the tree. Look at the bread. In other words, brothers and sisters, when do what God asks you to do. Sometimes we think, I want to do something big for God. Well, the biggest thing for God is obedience in the small things and in the great things. If you do them in the small, if you're obedient in the small things, then when some of the great things come along, you will actually have the courage and the wisdom to say yes. So take a look at where you say no to God. Or where you're tired waiting for God to act, like the people were in Exodus. And so they decided to take matters into their own hands. This applies to us in a lot of situations, brothers and sisters. And I really, really want to urge you and encourage you. Please take a look. Please take a look. Don't say it doesn't matter, because it does matter. It matters who you are. It matters your identity. It matters what you live from, the identity you live from. I am a daughter of God. That is the primary identity in my life. And therefore, it is the foundation on which I build everything else I do. My state in life, the call, the profession, the commitments, everything flow out from the basic one of who I am. Do you believe that God is your Father, protector, provider, one who establishes, one who guards, one who walks with, one who shields from danger, one who protects? Do you know God your Father in those ways? He wants you to. Draw near to him. Holy Spirit, reveal to me the Father. Show me, teach me, and I will do his will. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know how desperately each of us needs to be saved? Each of us. Do you rely on him? Do you thank him for the shedding of his blood to save you for eternal life? It's true. You can reject it. But my goodness, if I could look at an earthly person and know they gave their life for me to save me from some terrible disaster, my goodness, I would honor them all the days of my life in every way that I could. Well, Jesus Christ died for you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, reveal the Father to me, reveal the Son to me, draw me into union with you, that I may do your will. May that be the prayer of our heart. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.